This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Looking to start a side hustle or become your own boss? Do it with Shopify. Whether you're selling succulents or stilettos, Shopify has the industry-leading tools to help you create, control, and grow your own business. So get serious about selling and get Shopify today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.co.uk/special offer.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, July 23rd. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Back up your files. You know you should, but did you realize you should be saving extra copies at home and not only on the cloud? We'll tell you how to do that. And then, a defective update from cybersecurity company CrowdStrike last week led to worldwide tech outages. And it's raising questions about whether clients of cybersecurity providers should just accept automated updates or manually inspect them before updating, potentially leaving their systems open to threats while they do. Our WSJ Pro cybersecurity reporter James Rundle will join us with the latest on the outage and the dilemma facing companies. But first, ask people who've lost their homes to a fire or hurricane, and they are often most heartbroken about losing family photos and documents. Backing up this information on the cloud is a great way to avoid losing these irreplaceable treasures. But unless you stop taking photos, you're going to need to pay for more space in places like iCloud or Google One. And cloud storage is not foolproof. They can change their products, some cloud services have unexpectedly shut down, or you could lose your account information. So, what should you do? Cordelia James from our personal tech team is here to tell us. So, Cordelia, what do storage analysts recommend people do to safeguard their photos?
Yeah, so there is like this 3-2-1 backup method. You want to have 3 copies of your files saved in 2 different mediums, including 1 file stored away in a different location. Essentially, at the core of that is that you just want to make sure that you have access to your files both in like the cloud and like on an SSD, so like a solid state drive. So that way you still have access if something bad were to go wrong. So for example, if you have your SSD stored in your home, and God forbid, but if your house were to burn down, then you no longer have all of those files that were on that SSD.
So SSD, you're referring to a solid state drive as opposed to an HDD or a hard disk drive, which is a little more fragile. Which solid state drives did the analyst that you spoke to recommend?
Samsung and SanDisk have some really good SSDs. And one of those that we like to use, like SanDisk Extreme Portable SSD, that is one of those that it's both dust and water resistant. It can withstand drops of like nearly 10 feet. And the read and write speeds are fairly fast, which makes it just pretty convenient when moving your photos and videos and other files. SSDs are meant to last roughly 3 to 5 years. So if you want to get proactive and replace it before you start seeing errors, you should upgrade after that period.
And finally, Cordelia, from a practical standpoint, what steps should people take to back up their images if they're using iCloud?
When it comes to photos that are saved in iCloud, you can't move them to your SSD directly from iCloud. You have to download the original copies to your Mac. And so there's a way to do that. You go into your photo settings, make sure that you're downloading the originals to your Mac. So that way it gives you also just like the full size resolution of the images, as well as the information related to like the day that the photos were taken, like, you know, details like that that you don't want to lose. And then from there, you can export them over to your SSD. As nice as it would be to just select all your photos and just drag it on over to your SSD, as I've learned through my testing, you will lose some of that metadata. And so it's better to do the exporting process.
Is it as complicated if you're using Google?
Google has Google Takeout. You go into your Google account, and then you go to this screen that says download your data. You can pick whatever files that you want to take with you, such as your Google Photos. And then with a couple of clicks. You let them know like how you want to receive all your data, such as through like an emailed link. And from there, it might take a while, could take a few hours, could take a few days, depending on how much data you have. From there, you can download all of those images and then save them to your SSD.
That was Cordelia James from our personal tech team. Coming up, a CrowdStrike defect led to worldwide tech outages, and it's highlighting the need to balance speed with security. We'll have more on that after the break.
Why do over 50% of the Fortune 500 use Elastic? Because Elastic has done the hard work of making it easier for companies to do generative AI right. Elastic Search AI helps them make insightful and impactful decisions at speed. Across search, observability, and security, Elastic has the power to take your data into the future. Explore the possibilities of AI with your data at explore.elastic.co. Elastic, the search AI company.
Last week's CrowdStrike update, designed to refresh code in its threat detection software, contained flaws that prevented Microsoft Windows-based systems from starting. The resulting outages disrupted businesses across the world, including airlines, hospitals, stock exchanges, banks, and media companies, as well as some U.S. government agencies. The event is raising questions about whether a handful of dominant suppliers, especially in the cloud, concentrates risk to a dangerous extent. Here to tell us more is WSJ Pro cybersecurity reporter James Rundle. So James, this update left millions of Microsoft Windows users looking at a blue error screen, sometimes called the blue screen of death. Where do things stand with the outage now?
People are still remediating. A lot of the bigger companies were able to mostly fix themselves over the weekend. But the problem with this is that because of the nature of the problem, it requires a lot of physical manual intervention. People have to physically go to computers. They have to fix them. They have to go to the next one, so on and so on. So for companies with perhaps tens of thousands of machines, this is a process that just takes time.
What has CrowdStrike said about the outage and where things stand?
CrowdStrike has been working pretty solidly through the weekend and since this first started. They said a lot of work with customers, a lot of work with the government to ease concerns over the effect this can have. But it's an ongoing process. It's one that will take some time to recover from.
What about Microsoft? Can you remind us why they're involved with this and what the company said about the outage?
So Microsoft's involvement is basically limited to the fact that it affected Windows machines only. It didn't affect Macs. It didn't affect Linux machines or anything else. Microsoft has said to us that they have been working to help affected customers as well. But the cause of the fault really falls on CrowdStrike rather than Microsoft.
And the cause, it was not a hack, but in a blog post over the weekend, the company warned that bad actors were trying to exploit events. How are cyber criminals trying to do that?
This is the problem with criminals, is they're clever and they see something like this happen and they're like, well, it's go time, let's go, guys. So you saw a lot of fraudulent domains being registered over the weekend that were mimicking CrowdStrike support, trying to get people to give over their information. Usual tricks that hackers try. Some more serious elements have been observed, such as viruses being introduced. But as a whole, it's a paradise for hackers at the moment. Everyone's very panicked. Everyone's trying to get information. Very easy for someone to slip in and say, here you go, download this and it'll fix it. And it does completely the opposite.
So what did CrowdStrike advise its customers to do to stay safe in that situation?
They said only go through legitimate channels. So talk to your CrowdStrike representative who you deal with to buy your software. Make sure that you're calling official CrowdStrike numbers. Make sure you're actually talking to them when you believe you're talking to them.
This happened because faulty code was sent out in an update. Automatically sending updates isn't something that's unique to CrowdStrike or, you know, many companies. So can you explain how this could happen again with big vendors?
It's part a characteristic of cybersecurity because cyber attacks are so sophisticated, because they develop so quickly. You have to issue these updates frequently and they have to be applied frequently in order for companies to protect themselves. So in a way, we've arrived at a situation where companies have had to trust companies that their updates are solid. But we've also had a culture where for the past several years, governments, cybersecurity experts, companies have been really urging companies to patch as frequently and as quickly as possible. It's created a strange nexus where companies don't have the time anymore to really examine the updates to make sure they're not going to break their systems. They have to apply or they could be vulnerable to an attack. And it's a very difficult balance to strike.
So what can companies do to keep their systems safe given all of that?
they have to work more closely with their software vendors. They have to ask them what processes they're using to test updates before they send them out, to test new products and everything else. CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, has been really pushing on elements such as this lately by its Secure by Design initiative, meaning that security really has to come first in all elements of product design. And that includes the stability of updates as well. But really, it's one of those situations where just deeper engagement with the people you buy your services from is key.
Isn't there a risk, though, that if you don't just accept automated updates, that you could be leaving your systems open to a vulnerability in the meantime?
Yeah, that's the real catch-22 of the situation. Do you take the time to really look at an update, make sure it's not going to mess your systems before you apply it, and in the process, maybe leave a window for hackers to get in? Or do you look at a company like CrowdStrike and say, okay, well, they're global, they're sophisticated, they know what they're doing, we can pretty much trust this? And this isn't the first time this has happened. Back in 2010, McAfee issued an update that did a very similar thing. It's strange that 14 years later, this is happening again, but obviously a much bigger, much wider, and potentially much more devastating scale.
James, this outage affected so many systems. How concentrated is the cybersecurity industry?
There are a lot of vendors in the cybersecurity industry. It's a characteristic of it. But the truth is that there are a handful of suppliers who do have a pretty dominant position in the market. CrowdStrike is one of them. It's part of the S&P 500. It has, you know, three-fifths of the Fortune 500 that counts as a client base. They're pretty widespread. They're not the only ones. And you see this across technology as well. But this incident really has highlighted how widespread it is and how an outage at one company can have a ripple effect that really does translate globally.
How is this changing thinking about concentration in the industry?
It's highlighting concerns that have been there for a while. In any industry, you do tend to get people at the top of the pyramid who have the most reach and the most scale. That is often for a reason, though, especially in cybersecurity, where the requirements for providers are demanding, both in terms of technical expertise, in terms of resources and everything else, that often you only get a few providers who really can operate at the scale that large enterprises need to protect them. So it's both a feature and a bug of the landscape, and there's no easy solution.
All right, that was WSJ Pro cybersecurity reporter James Rundle. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang, with supervising producers Catherine Millsop and Melanie Roy. We had additional support from Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.